Good morning, church.
Morning.
Contrary to popular belief, I am still around. I haven't totally left you. I've just been busy doing some other things, and some things happened this week that I didn't plan on. So good to be back with you this morning. Before we get started, I'd like to shout out to Jim and Janice Robinson for being back. And we can say hi to them now, church, and we don't have to yell it. Good to have them back this morning. God bless them. We missed you too. God bless you. Tell you what, is it not good to be out in the house of God this morning? You know what? It's a beautiful morning out there, and it's just a beautiful day. And just, you know what? Any day that we have the opportunity to get up and serve God and come to His church and worship with Him is a beautiful day, is it not? I think it is. Praise God this morning. I'm going to be over in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to read the whole chapter, which is 13 verses. I want to talk about church discipline this morning is what I want to talk about. The time to deal with church discipline is now, not because of any problems we're having in the church. Our unity is at an all-time high, right? Oh, I think it is. Actually, I think it is. But you know what? Not because of it, but you know, God's power and His presence is upon this church. I believe that. Amen. This message is about how to keep it that way. Can you say amen to that? And I believe we need, you know what? The last 43 years have brought about three different attitudes and three different changes and mindsets that are upsetting to me as a preacher. It's upsetting, it should be upsetting to you as a Christian also. It really should be. If you go back 40 to 50 years and look at some of the things that's happened, you know what? There's three attitudes that are gods in our society. There are. They really are. There's three different attitudes that I feel as a minister that are gods in our society. One of them is open-mindedness. The other one is total acceptance. And the last one I want to talk about is privacy. Those are three things that are gods in our society. And I'll talk to you, Lord willing, with God's help this morning, why I feel that these things right there are what's tearing down church discipline. It's tearing down the discipline in our families. You know what? And I believe that we need, as Christians, to be aware, we need to set it out there and we need to say, listen, we're not going to accept this, Satan. We're not going to let you ruin what we have here. And I'm going to get into that here. Let's read the scripture, then we'll have a word of prayer. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For as I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such as one unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, and that ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with adulterers, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without judges God judges. Therefore put away from among yourself that wicked person. Wow. As Norman Taylor says, it's in your book also. Right? It's in the Bible. It's there. is plain and simple. We'll get into a little bit of what I'm going to talk about here in a little bit and get to the point that I'm trying to say. Lord, as I come, Lord, this morning, I pray, Father, that, Lord, that you'd be with us this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that no matter that what's said and done here this morning will be for the upbuilding of your kingdom, will be for your glory, will be for what you want said and done here this morning. I pray, God, this morning, that, Lord, that our hearts would be receptive, that we would look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, that we would look to you this morning and thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died upon the cross. Lord, I thank you for all this. I thank you for the message. I thank you for the love that you show. And we'll give you the praise for it all. And amen. Amen. First one I want to talk about is open-mindedness. It is considered the highest of all character qualities in this day and age, is it not? You know what? I'm all for keeping an open mind. Believe you me, I'm all for that. But you know what? In the good sense of what it's used to mean, open-mindedness has changed so much in the last 40 to 50 years. You know what? Open-mindedness does not mean what my grandmother and my grandfather meant as open-mindedness. I can tell you that right now. Today's open-mindedness tells us that there's no such thing as absolute truth. That's what it tries to tell us. There's no such thing as that. What's true for you may not be true for me and vice versa. That's what open-mindedness today is trying to tell us. Truth is only relative to the circumstances you are in at that time. They tell us truth is consistently changing. Well, I want you to know something this morning, that the Word of God never changes. The God that I serve has never changed. So for somebody to tell me that truth is consistently changing, I know that they're lying to me right then and there. The truth of the Word of God does not change. Truth is not just relative to the circumstance you're in. The truth that I'm talking about this morning is relevant no matter what circumstance you're in, because it is the Word of God that speaks to us. Amen? There was a time when you could appeal the Bible at a time of controversy, and people's ears would perk up and they would listen, and you know what? They'd agree with you whether they went to church or not. Amen? If you invoked the Bible, I'll tell you what, people would reverence that and say, is it that way nowadays? No, it is not. That which was pretty much settled. It did. Whenever you said the Bible years ago, it pretty much settled. Much of society today believes the Bible to be outdated. Much of society today believes that the Bible is out of touch with modern life. That is a lie straight from the pits of hell. That is where that comes from, as far as I'm concerned. The Bible is not out of touch. The Bible will never be out of touch. If God does not come back to get His church for another 2,000 years, I want you to know the Bible is still the authorized Word of a living God, as far as I'm concerned. You know the Bible says some good things, but you know, this is what they try to say. Well, you know the Bible says some good things, but you've got to keep an open mind. Oh, no, I don't. Oh, no, I don't. When it comes to God's Word, I will never be open-minded in the aspect that they want to try to put me into. I will never do that. Politicians run for office on the same platform of open-mindedness. Don't take a stand on the critical issues, for you're labeled a narrow-minded. It's just an alternative lifestyle. You are a bigot. And I can go on and on, life that you would understand if you weren't so narrow-minded. I want you to know something this morning. I understand full well what you're trying to tell me, what you're trying to tell my children, what you're trying to tell your children. And I want you to know something this morning. If you have to be so narrow-minded that they want to even talk to you, you go down that path and you keep going down her. I want you to know this morning that the God we serve today, I want you to know His way is the righteous way. His way is the truth. And any other way is a lie, and I will stand upon that to the day I die. I want you to know that. So much so that you have preachers not willing to preach on certain subjects. Amen? Better not touch that one. You don't know. You don't want to rock the old boat. I'll tell you what, I'll upset her if I have to. I want you to understand that. I'm not going to stand up here and apologize for what I believe is the truth in God's Word. If the boat has to be rocked, it will be rocked. Don't want to offend anyone. That subject is way too controversial. It is not way too controversial. For us that are born again, bump of the blood Christians, it is never too controversial for us. I'm not saying we have to stick our chest out and beat our drum and ram it down somebody's throat. But if somebody wants to do that to me, they're going to get Dave Long's opinion on something, whether they like it or not. They will get it. And you know what? You know what? Don't worry about it. And you know what happens then? All too often, the preachers do it is end up offending the best people in their flocks. The ones who are strong, you know, those type of preachers will do that. I want you to know, I've got good people in this church, and I will not offend them for the very few that they don't want to be. They don't want to stand in line and do what God wants them to do. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You know the majority gets catered to. The whiners and the gripers get catered to. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, so to say. I want you to know that's not the way it is in God's Word. We can find what He wants us to be, or you know what? You will end up paying the price one of these days. Not by me. You stand before the same God that I will stand before one of these days, and you will answer to that same God. And when you answer to Him, you will not open your mouth to try to disagree with what He's saying. The books will be opened. Everything you've ever done, everything you've ever said or thought will be written there. And I want you to know something. You will not be able to say a word. Oh, I've heard the arrogant ones say, you know what? He ain't going to tell me what I've done. I tell him, I said, listen to me. You're not even going to lift up your eyes to a God that's going to judge you right then and there. You're not going to scream out in any despair. You're going to sit there and you're going to listen. And God is going to bring it out. And whatever He said and done, you will end up in the pits of hell. That's the way it's going to be. But when you stand before a just and a righteous God. You know what? Down here, you can talk to me all you want to about what's right and what's wrong. God knows what's right and what's wrong. Amen. He knows it. I hope you understand me by now. Living together out of wedlock, sex before marriage, divorce, drinking alcohol, overeating, cheating on your spouse, gossiping, lying, either the little white variety or the full-blown lies. Let's get her straight. Listen to me, and you full-blown lies, must I go on? I hope you understand this morning. I hope you understand this morning that you know that I have, you know, there are preachers that would say, you know what, my preacher would never say that. He has better sense than that. You know what? I want you to know something this morning. I don't have no sense, and you know that. There are preachers out there that would not preach on any of that kind of stuff right there because they said their congregations would say, you know what? He has better sense than to say that in our church. I tell you what, listen to me, and I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being overbearing. I hope you don't understand that. This is all the love I can muster. You know I don't have any sense, and if the God that I serve puts it upon my heart, it's coming out my mouth. Not because I want to stand up here and just point my finger at somebody. I would never do that intentionally. But I want you to know something this morning. I believe with all my heart if God puts it in here and He wants me to bring it out, there's a reason it's coming out. It's not because of me. You see, the doctrine of the church discipline described in this passage of Scripture I read here today, listen, has all but disappeared from the mainstream churches in this country today. As the church world falls head over heels, this is what happens. The philosophy of open-mindedness has taken over in the church world. In the church world. Oh, we've got to be open-minded about this stuff, preacher. We've got to be able to do this kind of stuff. You don't understand. You're too narrow-minded. That Word of God is too outdated. It's too old-fashioned. You cannot stand up and preach that way. If you do, you're going to lose your congregation. Can I tell you something? I don't mean this in a bad way. I'll hold the door open for you. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm not saying that in a bad way. But if we cannot agree, the Bible said, if two or three agree together in my name, things can happen. And if you do not agree, we're holding down. I'm saying, and you know what? Another God that's in this world today is acceptance. And it's listen to me. The same thing I want to preach on this morning, we are expected by those around us to accept the behavior of everyone around us. Are we not? Oh yeah, us Christians are expected to accept the behavior of everybody around us and go on about with our loving way. And well, you know what? We should be loving. And I will say that we should be. But to accept it as if nothing is going on and nothing is wrong, that is wrong on our part. Amen? Amen. It is wrong. We expect, no matter what it is, the cry is loud and clear from the world. Tolerance! Tolerance! You guys need more tolerance! Oh my. I've been tolerant long enough. I have been tolerant long enough. You know what I mean? I hope you understand what I'm saying. Yes, yes, we are. We as loving Christian people, we are tolerant. But you know what? Whenever they do not want to hear what we say about what's going on in God's Word, then you know what? Who's the intolerant ones then? Who is the intolerant ones? Who's the ones that don't want to hear what's going on in this land today? We need to stand up, get a holy backbone, and let the world know that Jesus Christ lives. Yes, you may be in sin. You may be going down your merry way in sin, but you know what? Jesus still loves you. God still loves you. He died upon the cross, and you can have salvation too, but you've got to come His way. Don't think you're going to do it your way. You're not going to do it your way. You've got to come the way of the cross. We have to know what? The cry is loud for tolerance. The price of not conforming is to be labeled a bigot. I told you here a while back, in California right now, they're considering Christians hate groups. Hate groups! They're going to be on a list that's called a hate group if you're a Christian. I want you to know, I don't hate nobody. I hate the sin that is in this world. I hate Satan for taking and blinding the eyes of individuals to where they cannot see the truth of the living God. Listen, the Bible doesn't say that, you know, the Bible doesn't say wide is the path that leads to heaven, does it? Wide is the path that leads to destruction. And many, many there that be thereon. Why? Because they're running down it. It's wide enough for them to run right down it, right to the pits of hell. And it's time. It's time we let them know that. It's time we let them know what's going on. You know, the price of not going to be labeled a bigot. The abortionists, the fornicators, the perverts, the homosexuals, oh yeah, don't judge me, you have no right. You're right, I don't have a right to judge you, but the Word of God judges you. It judges you. It does. We are clearly see the flaws in their thinking, right? But what's sad, again, is the same attitude is found in the churches today. How many of them are agreeing with what's going on out here in this world and trying to smooth it over and make it right? I've told you, and I believe, I don't care. If someone is a sinner, they need to come to church. They need to be in a church. We need to love them as when they come into church. But to take part in the church and to be preachers and teachers and everything else, that cannot be. It cannot be. Until they get that out of their lives, until they, like any of us, have come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and not practicing what's going on in their lives. Some churches and some church members expect everyone to accept their behavior, no matter what it is, no matter the situation, no matter who it affects, you can like it or lump it, what they tell me. What they'll tell you, you know what? I don't have to like it, and I ain't going to lump it, so we're just going to agree on this. You're going to come the way that Jesus wants you to come, or we're not going to do her. But it's not. If anyone dares to question them what you do, you hear, don't judge me, you hear that. I count it a privilege to be your pastor. Do you understand that? I count it a privilege, but do you know that I have no right to be your pastor? I count it as a privilege to be your pastor, but you know I have no right to be your pastor. You know that? What? You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I'll tell you what I mean. But listen, preacher, I was voted in fair and square, and every year they talk whether or not they want me back or not. They talk about that, which I'm glad they do. And you know what? I praise God for that. I know God has put all of us together in His perfect will right here. There are people that will leave this church and have left it that they don't think that this is right. Let them go. Let them go. Going about their merry way and going down the road. Listen to me. I believe we are in God's will. I know that God has put us together, but all I'm saying is I am not entitled to this position. I am not entitled to the position of this preacher. Do you understand that? I'm not indispensable, and I am not irreplaceable, right? I am not. If God so desired He wanted me out of here, I want you to know God will take me out of here. He'll put a man of God up here who will preach to you, and His church will go on. That's the way it is. The God we serve is big enough to deal with me if need be. And I want you to know the God that we serve is big enough to deal with you if need be. He will be patient. He will be long-suffering. And you know what? He is forgiving. And if I don't respond to Him, when He calls me to do His will, He will call me on the carpet, and He has done that many a time. You don't want God to call you on the carpet for something that you are not doing or for something you are not saying or preaching correctly. And He will deal with me accordingly. And He has done it. I've got many a carpet burn. I want you to understand that. I have got that. Because why? Because He hates me? No, because He loved me, Oki.
Amen.
Because He loves you. That's why. True discipline is an act of love. That's exactly what it is. True discipline. Discipline your children should not be an act of anger. It should be an act of love. Am I right? When you discipline your kids, it should not be done in anger. It should be done as an act of love to correct an incorrection that's in their lives. Telling our children yes all the time, telling them yes all the time, is not always a true sign of love. Am I right there? That's not always a true sign of love. And God does not do that with us, by the way. He does not do that with us. There are times when we tell them no because we love them. We have been down this path before. We know what's right and what's wrong. And listen, you need to listen to me as your parent, as your grandparent, because we know what's right for you, and you're not old enough yet to know that. And you know what else? Parents, we can see if something is bad for our children or not. Can we not see that? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And you know what? I want to tell you this little story. It's a true story. Burger King, you know how they got their playrooms. I don't know where this was. I think it was out in the Midwest somewhere. Anyway, they had this one in there where they go in and jump in all these balls. Remember, I think some of these places have those where the kids could go in and jump in these balls. Well, this kid got in there and there was a nest of rattlesnakes that made a nest in those balls. Bit that kid. Anyway, Burger King got sued over that. They got sued over that. But my point to the whole thing is, if you knew that, would you let your kids play in that thing? I don't think there's a person in here who'd raise their hand. At least I hope not. And you know what? God knows what's best for us. We mess around with rattlesnakes all the time. And you know what? God knows what's best. And He tries to keep us. And you know, He tries to deal with us and show us what's right and what's wrong. And you know, sometimes we still go head over heels. And just like you said, you wouldn't let those kids go in those balls, you know, and play around in the nest of rattlesnakes. You know what? Why do we continue to do the things we do sometimes? Why do we do that? Well, we know that it's bad. So while being your pastor is a great privilege, I want you to understand this, a great responsibility goes right along with it. And when God tells me to preach, and it may be hard, and it may say, and you may look back and you say, preacher, you know what? That hurts. And that's not right. I want you to know I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. And let the chips fall where they may. So when God deals with me to preach, maybe sometimes you feel that it's right at you. And I want you to know something. I do not deliberately preach at no one. I'll stand up here and tell you the truth. I would never take an individual out and just specifically preach at them. But I do know when God deals with me about something, somebody needs it. Many church members today have the idea that church membership is their right. That's what many people, they feel like a church should be blessed just to have me here. Right? There are people who feel that way sometimes. I've been in churches before. I've been there where the people are like, man, I'm here. This church should be just tickled to death that I'm here. That ain't God's way. That shouldn't be your attitude. You know what? To be assembled with a growing, vibrant church should make you be just the Spirit of God should be flowing through your veins. You should be just tickled to death, and you should say, praise God, I have the opportunity to go to that church. But no, we get the attitude sometimes And I've seen it. I've seen it. Oh, I'm at that church, and man, alive, you know what? Well, how much better could that church be if I'm there? I'll tell you this, and I said this, and I know you get tired of hearing me say it. If you're looking for the perfect church, that church will be perfect until you get to it. That's exactly right. Many church members, they have that. You know, and if I don't mind God, and if you don't mind God, we will not stay that way long. We will not stay. As a church, when we accept everything, tolerance, when we lack church discipline, lack individual and church accountability, we are treading on dangerous territory when we do that. You know what? We have our books whenever we get, whenever these little books that, whenever you accept membership into the church, and you read down through there, it tells you what this church here believes. And you know what? Whenever we accept that terms of membership, praise God, I believe as a church, we have the obligation to pray for those people. And I believe this. I believe as just like the church of the living God, as a church, Drift Run Church, or any other church, you know what? We have that umbrella of protection over us because of the prayers of the saints. We do. You know what? One reason why church members are going to the wayside, we have become afraid of appearing judgmental. We've come to that point in church lives now. We have become afraid that if people, we say something, people will think we're judgmental. Let them think what they may. Let them think what they may. If you're serving God and you're doing it in love, let them think what they may. You going about your business. You're serving God. Privacy is the last thing I want to talk a little bit about here today. Stay out of my private life, they say. What I do is my business and it is no one else's. In America, privacy has been elevated. It has been elevated to constitutional status. Oh, yeah. And you know what I'm talking about? There's a false assumption that people have a private sphere around them and that no one has the right to intrude in that sphere, in that sphere that's around them. Abortion is grounded in that. Did you know that? This is why I'm talking about this. Abortion is grounded in the issue of privacy. Homosexuality is grounded in the issue of privacy. It's my life. It's my body. I will do with it what I want. You are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are God's. Amen. You are God's. The question is asked, what is your positional privacy? You know, whenever, listen to this. Whenever a new Supreme Court justice is brought before the Senate, depending on what president's in there, they'll get their views on. Whenever they're brought before the Senate, one of the questions that's asked them is, what is your feeling on privacy? And do you know what they're trying to ask them? What do you feel on all these issues? They won't come out and ask them, but that's what they're trying to ask them. It's a sneaky way of getting it in there. It invades homes. Listen, kids tell their parents you have no right to go into my bedroom to check out my email or my phone messages. Do you know what would have happened if I'd have said that when I was a kid? Do you know what would have happened if I'd have told my parents, you have no right in my bedroom when I'm not there? They'd have taken a deal off of it.
Absolutely.
And they would have told me you would get the door back whenever you succumb to being what you should be. That's exactly what would have happened. I know that's what would have happened. There ain't no lying about that. What type of thinking is so foreign to me if a mom or dad would have found something in my room and I was still living at home, the last thing that I would have done, the last thing my mom would be asking him, what were you doing in my room? That would have been the last thing that would have ever crossed my mind. I've been worried about how hard I'm going to get it. I'd have been worried about how old I was going to be grounded. I wouldn't have worried about whether or not why they were in my room. Parents, if they live under your roof, if you are paying the taxes on that house, if you're paying the utilities on that house, if you're paying the insurance on their house and on their cars, let me tell you, and I'm going to say this, and you can agree or disagree with me, you have the right to do whatever you want to.
Amen.
Check into anything you want to. If you find a CD that you don't like, you've got the right to throw it in the trash. I'm telling you, my son lives with me now. My son is still 29 years old. And I'm going to tell you right now, he knows. He knows. He's getting married here in a few months. What he does at his house is fine. But in my house, it's going to be the way that we want it. You say, oh, he's 21. I don't care. I don't care if he lived here and he's 50. I'm just saying, you can ask my daughter. She's heard the same thing. When she was living in my house, it was all rules. Why? You say, well, it's because privacy, this thing that they try to throw out there and try to do, this privacy is ruining this country that we live in. There's a boy that got mad. And this is true. This is a true story. We're talking about taking the door off of it. He went to this preacher. This is the same advice as preacher. This boy got mad and had his parents. And whenever he got mad, he would run into his bedroom and lock his door and would not let nobody in his door, in his room. He was mad, you know. This kid, this young teenage boy was mad. So the parents come to this preacher and they ask the preacher, he said, preacher, what can we do? We cannot handle him. He will not let... The preacher gave him very sound advice. He said, I'll tell you what I would do. Take the door off of that bedroom. He would never lock it and shut it again. And whenever he submitted to the one I wanted him to submit to, then he could have the door back. Listen, we take this thing all the way around what it should not be. We are the parents. They are the children. It is not vice versa. We are not their friends. We are their parents. Amen. The same idea has invaded the churches also, folks. It has invaded the churches that frequent all across this land today that we're in. It has done that. You know what? Yeah, that's fine. You can go to church, but you know, I don't want you to, whatever happens in my life, you know what, you preacher and all you try, you stay out of it. I still want to come to your church. Listen to me. If you're out there doing something and it's caught and you know for a fact that it happens, church discipline has to kick in. Right here, fifth chapter of 1 Corinthians. And it tells you, Paul had put a church in the most sinful city on the face of the earth at that time in Corinth. It had all kind of stuff going on in that city. He put a church there, and you know what happened? The church started out good, but it slowly started to fade into what the city, and started to fade into the world, was starting to get into church, and Paul called them out. He didn't beat around the bush, he called them out. And whenever he did, listen to me, there may have been some there that didn't like it. There may have been some there, but you know what? Paul got his word across. It's for us today. It's for us today. Church discipline is very, very appropriate in certain circumstances. And again, it has to be done in love. L-O-V-E. Not just a saying of love. It has to be done from the heart kind of love. If it's done that way, it will be done right. Church, we're growing, vibrant, and I feel we're on fire for God. I still feel that, and I felt that from the day I walked in this church. Don't let nobody tell you any different. Don't let no one get in your mind and try to tell you this church is not this and this church is not that. God showed me this week. I've been praying about this because things bear on my mind. And I want you to know something. God showed this to me. He told me you speak it with boldness, and that's what I'm doing this morning. Do you understand me? Don't let no one tell you any different. Don't let no one put you down. Don't let the devil lie to any of us. Praise God this morning. Now, let's pick up our saddles and let's go. Let's go. They come and get a song.